Shabbos process,
the most important aspect in Hilchos Shabbos is what is the process that's being used. And that determines if it's Asur Midaraisa, if it's Asur Midarabanan, if it's Mutter. And I can achieve all the time the exact same result, but the process is a different process. And it changed from Chilul Shabbos to Asur Midarabanan. I carried something on Shabbos. Rishus the Rishus is a malacha. What happens if I carry it b'shina? I put it inside my hat and I carry it. The end result was the same. The chayfet started in one rishus and wound up in the other rishus. But how did I do it? In an unusual fashion. So it's a chisor and malechus machshavas. So process is most important to the Shabbos. When it comes to ritzicha, process is a secondary matter. It may affect the einish in this world, but in Shemayim, they consider it equally immoral. You know, you did it with Koyach Rishon, with Koyach Sheni, Koyach Shlishi, who knows, a groma. You intended to do it, and at the end of the day, you destroy the life of a human being. So it's a very highly immoral act. The means and the methods are not so important in Shemayim. It's the end result that's objectionable. We had that in the halachos of Bishul. If I cook with a flame, it's chilul Shabbos, I violate daif of Bishul. If I cook with the sun, so depending if it's direct or indirect, indirect is asur midarabanan, told us chama, and direct is mutter, het gomer. Rabbi Kamen assures me that when he lived in Phoenix, he would have had no trouble on an August morning putting a plate outside and getting a fried egg back. 120 degrees. So process dictates. There's a very interesting Gemara. Now the Gemara generally relates two types of things. The Gemara relates things that happened, and what the psak of those cases are, and those are the set the paradigms for the shaylas that we have. And sometimes the Gemara gives really far-fetched cases. When you get done considering all the factors that have to come together to make the case work, if it happens one time from Adam HaRishon until Mashiach Tzidkenu, it'll be a lot. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal said, the reason is, it wasn't intended because of a concern that that's really going to happen. But rather, Chazal wished to demonstrate the principle, to understand the underlying lumdus that we should grasp. So they created a case which illustrated that which they wanted to illustrate. They weren't concerned with the practicalities of that case. To the contrary, it was a means of illuminating the theoretical. Now, then we have a real shayla that will understand the principle of the Gemara clearly. So here the Gemara relates a ma'isa, daf ayin dalad, in Shabbos. Ki osa Rav Dimi came, and it related the following. Omar, he said, Shabbata de Rav Bibi Havoy. It was the Shabbos of Rav Bibi. So what was the pshat? They used to run, you had a toranut, everybody had to be the waiter on Shabbos. So Rashi explains, Shabbat Rav Bibi Avoy, Higia Yoim Olius Oimer M'Shama Shalat Amidim, today he had to be the waiter. It wasn't Shabbos. V'Klo Rabbi Ami Rav Asi, and these Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi came. Tubur Egdoyle Ador. So he wanted to be Mechabedim. So Shodo Kamayo Kakala de Peri. He had a basket with fruits, it looks like mixed fruits. And Rashi says also, maybe it was one type of fruit, but they were together with pieces of the leaves. Where Rashi interprets the Gemara. So what did he do? Shodo Kamayo Kakala de Peri. He dumped down He dumped out the bushel of fruits on the table in front of them. So Rav Dimi said, "V'lo yadana," and I don't know why he did it. Imishum the sover oichom itok psolus also, because he was concerned that oichom itok psolus is also. That's what concerned him, and therefore he didn't want to do that either. War, something else. Imishum ayin yafahu the mechav, or he was concerned that he wanted to show them, he's giving them with a broad hand. So I don't give you an apple or two, I'll dump a whole bag on you. He showed them how much he was machshav of them, that they could have, you know, they're fit for whatever they want. Now you put five steaks on the table for them. Take what you want. There's a choshev, I guess. So Rashi says, when a shayla is, no, the ma'isa happened. What did the shas tell us this ma'isa for? What do I need to know this ma'isa for? So Rashi, listen what Rashi says. V'shoda kamayu, he threw it down. V'la rotza liver o'ichel mitocha alan. He didn't want to take the oichel, the edible, the fruits out, mitocha alan from the leaves. V'lo says lifnei kol echad ve'echad, and to serve each person, to put an apple down on each place. Ala shotchon, he spilled it out. V'heim noitlen, and they took them. So what did he help? Why wasn't he concerned with burr? If he was concerned, he wasn't sure that he had a head for burr, so why did it help him to dump it out and spread it out? Well, Rashi ends all. And by spreading it out in this fashion, nifrash ha'eichel me'elov, the eichel becomes separated from the olive from the leaves. So the Gemara says he was concerned that he wasn't supposed to take even ochel mitoch psolus. If it's a case you're not supposed to take ochel mitoch psolus, so what did it help him that he dumped it out and he separated the ochel from the psolus? What did it help? So Ramesha deduces from this Gemara, Kedarka Bakodesh, everyone won. To understand the message that process is what's most important. Spilling it out on a table, but you're not taking the ocho from the solus or the solus from the ocho, is not an act of burr. So even if Bibi was concerned there was burr, which was insoluble in this case, but by dumping it down on the table and it spread apart by itself without a direct action dealing with the ochel or the psolus, rather indirectly, so there's no mice or burr that's involved. And now that it's all spread out, now there's no problem, because we said the most basic element which is necessary to violate burr is a taruvus, and remember there's no taruvus there. Now once we have this idea, this is a very useful idea. So Rav Moshe Zatzal used it for many types of situations. We said that one of the three requirements of bayer is that it be miyad, for immediate use. Now, I wake up 8 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning, 7:45. Coming from AY by 11:15, I'll be home. But the guests are coming 11:15, so I can't set the table at 11:15. Well, I have to set the table before shul. I don't have time after shul. But the problem is, my wife washed the silver and she put it all in the drainers to drain, and it's all mixed together. So even if I want a fork and I take it, but I could only do that for immediate use. Well, this is immediate use. This is the last chance that I have to do it. I don't have a chance to do it at 11:15. Halachically, it doesn't work. Miyad doesn't mean that, you know, I decided I'm going to go someplace after I do it. Miyad means just prior to the meal. The fact that I want to spend the next 3 hours doing something else, that's my business, but that doesn't make this just prior to the meal. That's not miyad. Now, what is miyad? So So miyad really goes on a sliding scale. You want to peel a cucumber. Well, who's eating the Shabbos meal with you? Just you and your wife. So what do you need? One cucumber. So how long does it take to peel it? 2 minutes. So 2 minutes before the meal is miyad. I have a meal that I have 50 people at. And I have to peel 20 cucumbers. Well, 20 cucumbers are going to take me 20, 25 minutes to peel. So the miyad is 20, 25 minutes. It means the amount of time you need just prior to the meal to prepare this thing. That's the miyad. So here I am, it's Shabbos morning, 7:45. I want to set the table with all the silverware mixed together. I can't just take the forks and put them out because that's more oichum mitoch psoilus for later use. That's certainly chayav chatas. So what could I do? Rav Moshe says, take a handful of silverware, fling it out across the table. Now it's all separated, so now there's no birth. So I'll take the forks, I'll take the knives, the spoons, and I'll put them where I want them to be. Well, since there's no bearer, so there's no necessity of miyad. So process is what determines that this is what the process is, a different process. Yes?
Can I ask about the nature of unspreading that unspreading? Would it have, does it make a difference how he would do it? Meaning, does he have to like throw it across the table, or could he even pick them out one by one?
No, but I don't think he can pick them. We'll come to that. That's a different shayla. Ramesh is not getting involved with that.
But
there's no Issa. I'm creating. No, that's not Mavatl and Issa. Could you shecht?
You have a combination together, you have to separate.
It's not an Issa. There's no Issa here. Just if I'll do it the wrong way, I'll violate an Issa. It's not a Cheftzah Shal Issa. No. Yeah.
Is taking the silverware out of the, if it was in the drawer and no separator?
That is no problem at all. If it's separated in the drawer, no, it depends how you put it into the drawer yesterday.
But if it's neatly in the drawer, that's
that. Yeah.
And about plates that are in the drainer, would that
if they're not piled, if they're clearly standing, we'll come to this soon. If they're jumbled together, you'd have a problem. If they're not jumbled together, we'll see.
How far do I have to throw it? If I throw it just a little bit, or a lot, or, you know, it's all qualitative.
375 feet,
tell me.
And but just, the end result is what counts. Now, if you have the right wrist action, you can probably do it in 18 inches, you know. If you don't, you probably need 10 feet, you know, tons.
But you have to have some kind of measuring rod to understand how
the measuring rod is very simple.
Is
that the
so
line
you did it. So look,
they're not pawed together.
So
the line
that
just, that's all.
Okay.
That's the measuring rod.
Okay.
Now, if you went to a Shalom Zohar and your coat disappeared in a jumble of 15 other coats, you have two choices. Either you can take the best looking one and go home with it, you know, that's one choice. If you don't want to do that, you want to find yours, so what are you going to do? So then you could use this Eitzah too. Take a few coats and spread them out. Just flip them out, you know, and then you'll see which, if you have yours or not. You'll have to take some more. But better off to avoid the problem in the first place. But? Don't put your coat in a pile of coats, that's all.
Remember exactly where you put it.
Put it in distinct location.
Yeah. Hide it in the oven, they won't use that on Shabbos. So process is most important. Oh, he's not here tonight. Oh. So three fishermen asked me the following Shiloh. You know, he's a good-hearted person. Goes around after the davening and he scoops up all the swarm that are spread out all over the tables. And they pile them up near the, on a table near the bookcases, and then they put them up in the bookcases where they belong. Well, He wanted to know if there are any borer issues involved in doing such a thing on Shabbos. I said, let's go step by step. Normally speaking, the swarm are not in a jumble on the tables. They're placed neatly on the tables, so there's no real terulus. So you can certainly gather them up and, you know, pile them up if you want near the bookcases. But the shayla is, now that they're in piles by the bookcases, is there a problem with burr and sorting them out in different types of sedurim? So Rav Moshe indicated in his tshuvas, it doesn't spell out why. I will explore perhaps one reason that I understand. That if this farm would be clearly labeled outside, that there should not be a burr issue involved. I presume the following, my assumption is the following. If they're jumbled together, like, you know, sometimes you go into a yeshiva Arab Shabbos, they got to clean away all the leftovers from them. They come with a cart, they just dump them on. It's an amorphous mound of swarm. There's no other description that they can give for it. So that's a taruvus, as we saw last week. Shlomo Zalman said, if I have the matzahs out of the box that are just piled up, as we have them sometimes in the baskets in the matzah bakery, if it's been a troublesome bunch of matzahs, so we have a huge pile of broken and whole ones, and now we've got to sort them out at the end, well, that's a taruvus. If they're stacked one upon the other, that's not a taruvus. So, I think that the following, you have a pile of sedurim, also not as a jumble. It's also not a terubus, no more than the meat stacked upon each other is a real terubus. And if they have the name on each one, so each one is Nikrabim Kaiman. So we said the Trumas Hadashin said that if it's Nikrabim Kaiman, in other words, each one is readily identifiable, then it's not considered, should not be considered a terubus. So the Chabetz Chaim said that the Trumas Hadashin only backed off of this psak because he was concerned with an Issa Deraisa. But by Anissa Durabonon, he would have signed on. Now he says, the worst that our part of Sedurim could be is Anissa Durabonon. It's impossible for it to be a derisa, the Chofetz Chaim says. And consequently, we could rely upon the Trumas Hadashin. Now the Chayrit should apply to our case of a part of Sedurim too, of labeled swarm. They're also in such fashion, no different than a part of meat. Whereas according to the Chofetz Chaim, I could take out whatever I want and put it where I want. It's not together, really. It doesn't consider it. I'll be doing a taruvus.
I don't get why would it be boring to take? I mean, if I take a pile of 20 sperm and then I pick the top one up one by one and put them in the shop.
It's part of the taruvus. That's mukhrach.
Otherwise, take the top is boring?
Yes. Otherwise, there'll be no boring in the world. Every boring would start from the top.
I thought that would be a good answer.
It's not. Otherwise, the Chofetz Chaim wouldn't have had to try so hard. Right, the Chofetz Chaim. Well, if the top one is not mixed, once I take over the top one, now the second one is not mixed.
Right.
Okay, you're not the first one that asked this question, but the Chofetz Chaim obviously did not agree with you. Otherwise, he would not have had to go to such great efforts to create his heter.
Does this pile jumbled or
unjumbled? Just stacked, neatly stacked one upon the other, not jumbled. So that wouldn't be in the realm of a taruvus. Now, let me tell you a case in the Shulchan Aruch, and I want to tell you a new heter which has emerged. I told it to the ladies already, I think. Now, this is a new heter for me in the last few months. I once was a coffee addict, once upon a time, and I still like coffee, but it doesn't like me particularly, so most of the time I keep my distance from it. But, you know, if I go by with this good coffee, or I go by the coffee factory, but I roast the coffee, I still get a rush. So now, the shaila is like this, you know, the Keurig became the coffee of choice nowadays. The only pilpul is if you got it's a plain or with flavors, whatever, but that's the coffee of choice for any aficionado. That's the coffee of choice.
Which is the coffee of choice?
It's these little things that come with these little tiny containers there with a filter. And this is not for our age, but this is, you know. But this is what it's about. Wherever you go today, this is what they're serving. So people want to know if they're allowed to make them on Shabbos. This is, you know, they have, I guess a little bit they have the problem. I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not, but the Stipler never used a hearing aid, despite the fact that he had serious issues of hearing from the time he was in the Russian army early in his life. Nobody knows why. The story that goes around, maybe it's actually accurate, is that he would not consent to use it on Shabbos. He was concerned with issues of Chilul Shabbos. And he didn't want to be Sovich on any of the Heterim. So Mamela, they said that he didn't want to feel that Shabbos was the worst day of the week. If every day he'll hear and Shabbos will be miserable, so it'll be his attitude towards Shabbos will be the most miserable day of the week. So he didn't want to live like that. So he decided that he won't use a hearing aid the whole week, so Shabbos won't be worse than any other day. That's what the world says. Al Kaponim, the coffee fiends don't want Shabbos to be worse than the whole week. So they wanted to know, is there a way to make this coffee on Shabbos? So there were two issues. There's an issue of Boyer and an issue of Bishel. We'll look at them one by one. Now we're talking about Burr, so let's start with Burr. It's a very interesting case in the Shulchan Aruch, and let's start with that case. On the bottom of a wine barrel, or the bottom of an old bottle of wine, you'll sometimes find sediments. Over the years, they fall to the bottom. Now, if you have sediments mixed with wine, you can dump it into a filter, and whatever wine is in there, the wine will come through, and the sediment will stay there. Over time, a little bit more of the wine will drip out of these sediments. If you have a lot of sediments, at the end of the day, there's some little bits of wine that are stuck in between the sediments and don't come down. Now, what they did is they used to dump a small amount of water on it, and that would flush the sediments out, and you'd have a little bit more wine. So the shaila is, so to take sediments mixed with wine and dump it into a filter on Shabbos, that's bur. That's an isa d'oraisa. But how about I put the sediments in on Friday and the wine went out? Now all I have is the dregs with some wine still. It's still damp. There's still some wine in there. I want to pour some water over it to flush out the rest of the sediments. Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? Well, here we have a case before she did in the Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter to do so. The theory of it apparently seemed to be this, and I started with liquid and I ended with liquid. The fact that it was mixed together was a transient state. It wasn't that it was closed and locked in and I opened it up and I let it out. I put it in. It was on the way in and on the way out. And therefore it's not considered burr. That's a din in the Shulchan Aruch. If you want to have a better pshat than I have, you're welcome to make your own pshat. But that's the din. The din is the din. That's clear.
What comes out, the water and the wine?
It flushes out some of the remainders of the wine that's left in the sediment that didn't drain down by itself.
Doesn't the wine get the water down that way?
Well, you put a little bit, so listen. I guess watered down wine is better than no wine at all. You know, it's like the guy that asked the Bala Busta if he could have a bowl of soup. So she said, okay, do you want yesterday's soup? He said, certainly not. So she said, so come back tomorrow. You know, having something, not in the best, is better than having nothing.
So is that something that you're only allowed to do if you don't have?
No, you're allowed to do a tether. It's 100% mutter. It's a din in the Shulchan Aruch. You can look it up in Simon Shin Yates, it's mutter. So it said, based on that, so we come to the following. So I can pour water into the filter. I started with water, drank some coffee with it on the way out. It comes out the other side of the filter. It's mutter. No issue of burr. So before it's a din in the Shulchan Aruch. So now what's left? Shaila was, but my problem was that there's a machlekes of kli shlishi, is a heter or not. And I personally, I don't give a heter for kli shlishi. I said, anyone that wants to, I can't be meicha. Listen, Ramosha Zatzal Paskin is mutter. Whoever wants to be soimich on it has a right. But listen, I can't, you know, the Chavetz Chaim didn't paskin that way. It's an old machlekes of the achreinim. Oh, I don't want to be nichnis to it. So I never gave a head to Ford. So, the shaila is, so how are you going to make the coffee now? If the water's still hot, and your klishish is not a heter, so we're stuck. Now, I always thought that the bishul part was more problematic than the bur part. So one guy comes to me and he tells me like this. He says, "Rabbi, the coffee beans are roasted. They're not raw. Now, I'm not sure if they're roasted with dry heat or wet heat or with steam. Sometimes these things are processed, like the cocoa is processed with steam. I mean, the instant coffee is processed with steam. I'm not sure which way it's roasted. I'm not sure. But roasted it is. So it means with the rice, it's considered mevushel already. So what's the worst possibility, even if it was done with dry heat, is that you're doing bishul after tzli. So we said any time when we're down to this point of such a chumra and a kli shlishi, the Chofetz Chaim paskin its mutter. So now, this is my glass. I poured water in here from ketel on Shabbos. So this now is a kli sheni. Now I want to take this and pour this over the coffee, which is in the filter. Now it's irui kli sheni. The Prima Godem writes in Hilchos Shabbos that irui kli sheni has a din of kli shlishi. So now, there's no bishul problem either. So those that like the this coffee could make it in this fashion on Shabbos. This is something relatively recent.
My coffee maker won't work that way. So you're saying you just basically, you have a filter, and you have coffee grinds in there, and then you're just pouring water that is already in a cliche, right?
You got it. We're at 100% butter on Shabbos.
Not a good way to make coffee. Mm-hmm. The water's not going to be hot enough.
It depends how hot it is when you start. It depends how hot it is when you start.
You don't want it to be, if it's too hot, it's not good either, right?
It's without, we don't need all the chumras.
You don't need all the chumras. You don't need to know what the temperature of the water is.
No, we don't have to worry.
A hot, much higher than yetzel or whatever.
Yes. Yes. Because klishtishi is mutter because of process, not because of substance of what's taking place.
Have you gone back to the case of the svarim that are stacked up? If they're not labeled,
maybe they're together a taruvus then. Because they're not nikarim koma. The whole punchline of the heter is that they're nikarim koma, but they're not nikarim koma because it doesn't have a label.
Wasn't the idea the Chofetz Chaim that when he was talking about the
so that's the same problem as this. If they're stacked up.
Is there a chavez for the right one?
Right, so good. So if they're nikarim, it means each one standing by itself. But here you don't know already. Each one, you look at it, it's amorphous. There's a final hat there is. If you look at them, each one is nikkur what it is, and it's not a taruvus. Here I look at it, I don't see anything because there are no labels.
So why is it different than like clothes in a closet? Because it's nikkur, you can ask me what it is?
Yeah, each one, yeah. Each shirt is whatever nikkur. It's not nothing hidden about it. Oh. So. Now let's come to the following. Until now we've talked about Eichel from Psylus and Psylus from Eichel and Eichel from Eichel. Now let's deal with something else. Let's go in a little bit of a different direction. He served the soup Friday night. And one of the guests left half the bowl of soup and with some of the carrots and the knedlach. Now, what are you going to do with it? To throw it into the garbage can with the half a bowl of soup, not very naim. So, nor do you want to throw the solids down the drain. Also not such a smart idea. So, if you're like me, the sinks are filters in them. Catch solids from going down unless the liquid goes down. Now you want to take the plate to the sink and spill out the soup. The soup will go down. The solids will get stuck in the filter and the strainer, and then you throw them in the garbage. So you won't plug up the plumbing and you won't put liquid in the garbage. So the shaila is, well, is there boyer? I started off with a mixture of soup and knedlach, and little pieces of chicken, and at the end of the day, the soup went down the drain, and with a cleat, I left everything else behind. So what's the din?
So this is the lomdus, you're right, Rabbi Menachem.
You got it exactly right. Since I want neither one of them, not for now and not for later, so it's psoilus from psoilus. It's not burr altogether by definition.
Why isn't the soup off though? I want the soup.
I know, the soup I'm throwing down the drain. I don't want it.
I'm saying that I want them separated.
Yeah, it's garbage and garbage, that's all. So, I don't want anything. I just want to get rid of them.
What happens if I pour the soup down the drain and then there's something left in the bowl? Can I throw that in the garbage?
Yeah.
That's okay also?
It's psoilus and psoilus. Psoilus is by definition not burr.
If they're both psoilus, why can't I spoon one out?
You
just throw out the solids.
So you could do that too. Well, you can listen. I'm worse than them. I use a cleat in my house. We use a strainer. That's miyuchad lekach. It's made for that purpose. Mamash a cleat. The real deraisa. So this is an important heter to know. A very, very important heter to know. That soilus from soilus doesn't involve burr. So any questions until now? Everything's so crystal clear, Gavaldik. Yeah.
So is it okay if the soup, when I use the soup, let's say if my daughter wants a carrot in the soup, so is there a problem with pushing the soup to the carrot?
Oh, okay, this is an important one. Let's do this one. The question is the following. In my family, forgetting that the Chofetz Chaim's a theorem right now, of that if things are in layers, you know, it shouldn't constitute a burr. Forget that one. I have one person that doesn't like the carrots with the fish. So they want to always take the carrot and give it to somebody else. I have one person that doesn't like the onions. And the cholent or whatever. So wherever there's onions, they want to give them. And I have one person that loves the onions. So the shayla is the following. I want to get rid of the onions. I want to get rid of the carrots. But I know that you like the carrots and you like the onions. Oh, so I said, Menachem, would you like the onion? And I was, hey, this is mamish, this is the real Einik Shabbos, the onion. Well, I stick my fork in, I pull out the onion, which I despise, and I give it to Menachem. And by him, it's Me'ein Olam Habo. So that's the Shaila. Oh, hey, yes, that a person's not only supposed to live for himself in this world, well, we're supposed to live for other people too. So, the halacha allows for me to be egalitarian. So that's it. I treat, you know, Menachem as I treat him. That's what he likes. I'm glad to give it to him. So then it doesn't constitute psalmist. It's eichel. Right? One man's junk is another man's gold. For me, I wouldn't look at it. And for him, that's the thing he wants more than anything else. He bought a whole bowl of soup just to get the onions.
So it's not.
If you're actually taking it to give to someone that wants it, so that's, even though for you, you're happy to be rid of it, that doesn't make a difference. But you're actually giving it to someone else to eat, so it's part of
But Rob, I understood his question. Can I go searching in the soup to look for a carrot so I can put it in my daughter's pot? In other words, I move the ladle around in the soup till I find a carrot. And
that's a different problem. That's a tarubis. That you can't do.
Why can't you do that?
You can't fish in a tarubis when there's things that you don't want to fish through the things that you don't want.
I don't think anything else. Why was it
going? But
pushing them to the side to help
want.
Find that which you want.
It's all stuff I do want because I'm going to serve it to the next person.
So take it out and give it to that person. Right now, in the maisa depends what you're doing. So if you want, take it out and give it to the next person. Until you find the carrot, and then take the carrot and give it to the person that you want. But you can't push the things aside. That's what the Chabetz Chaim says, for the sake of getting to the thing that I want. Yeah.
It's important that the person that you give the olam to eats the olam
together. No, I don't think so. I don't think that has to be. Means it doesn't mean he's planning to leave it for 3 hours. It doesn't have to chomp it down this second. You know, there's a derech of people eat. You know, you put something down, there are some people that when you put the food down, that's their style, and they go right. And some people, you know, a little bite, a little bite, a little bite. It's an hour later, they're still not all the way there. You can't do it for later use, but if it's right in here now to eat, how quickly or slowly a person eats is not material. Yeah.
I take a little soup together with the carrot, is that different? So I'm not just taking the carrot out, I'm taking a little bit.
I don't think in this case, if that's all you have is carrot and soups, then you wouldn't have a problem getting the carrot anyhow. So.
No, it's not just the bread. It's chicken. It's
yeah, that's not going to help you. It's not going to solve the issue. Yeah.
Getting back to the coffee maker. You're not allowed to boil up water on Shabbos. What happens?
So we agree about, first step we agree about. Okay.
What happens if you have a filter and then you're pouring this water in, and there's the container has electric on it, but it's not going to be hotter than the water that you're putting in there. Would that be allowed?
You mean if the electric is on?
The electric is on, but it's not hotter than the water that you're putting in.
Your problem is not in the bishul din. Your problem is in the din of chazar. That when you take something cooked, you can't put it into another pot unless there's a blech. Unless it is substantively different than the normal way that it's used during the weekdays. In bishul, you're right.
In bishul, I'm right.
Yeah.
Lagabe, the fishing the canoe or fishing a piece of meat out of a pile of chomans, which sounds like the rabbi saying, "Hush, shy, you're not allowed to do it because you're pushing away the other stuff." Would it be mutter to scoop out a part, say, "Okay, I don't like this, put it back in," or is that?
I don't think so. That I don't think you can do.
That's just as good. There's no way. There's no mutter.
Yeah, just listen. Fill up.
Stir the whole pot.
No, just stir. Maybe you could stir it. Maybe. But the best is just serve it, and when you get to what you want, take it. That's all. Take a spoon and start putting it out into a serving bowl, and when you get to the thing that you want, take it. Yes?
Regarding the throwing of the silverware to separate from the table, can I just gently, randomly drop the silverware? Or does it have to be a little further away? I just go.
I don't know if that would be. That might be a mice burner itself if you did it. That's what I suspect. Yeah. Yeah.
If someone by mistake was borer, but
what happens if you violated borer by mistake?
No.
So what are the consequences of that? Can you use that which you?
But could someone else just because he likes that take that and eat it? Would that?
Well, that's not going to change it after the fact.
No.
Can't write, rewrite history, Richard. Only by Hatoras Nadorim do you get the chance to do that. But the question is, this the question that you raise has another interesting side to it. Let's say I did burr. What is the consequence of that on Shabbos? Am I allowed to use the object which was separated illicitly? Now, interestingly, this is a general klal in all the Malachos, but the Chabad Chaim quotes it in the Bi'ar Halacha in the beginning of Shin Yotes. is the Chayodim who posits the following, that if there's no substantive physical change and that which I did the malacha to, then there's no Iser b'di'evid if I violated the Iser. But a classic case, and the Chofetz Chaim said, and this may be the case here too, it depends a little bit with the lumness of what we did last week in the Yeshuvas Yaakov, is it considered a tikkun or there's no tikkun here? Are you changing anything or not? The classic case is, let's say you violated Hoytzah on Shabbos. Sure, you left something in your pocket, you came, you wound up with it in shul. Are you allowed to benefit from it? And we'll come back to look at it from another standpoint. So according to the Chayodim, you're allowed, because it brought no physical change on the handkerchief that I brought in my pocket. I didn't do anything to it. If I built something on Shabbos, I sewed something, I made a kli, I built an arm, a closet, there I physically done something. That is not allowed to benefit from on Shabbos. Now there's another standpoint, and probably there's a big smach to be soimach on this chayodim, because that we're assuming here and now our function is to assume that it was done b'shegig, and this audience that we're dealing with. Now if it was done b'shegig, so we know there are 3 days in Shas. What about the consequences of doing malach on Shabbos? According to Rav Meir, a malacha that was done b'shoigeg, even the person himself that did it b'shoigeg is allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos itself. According to Rav Yehuda, the person who did it and the ones who did it for can't benefit from it until after Shabbos. Now the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rav Yehuda that shoigeg is also on Shabbos itself, but the Gra paskins like Rav Meir that if you did a malacha b'shoigeg, you're allowed to benefit from on Shabbos, even the person himself that did it. So certainly, b'tzira from these two things, that the goyin sheet that a shoigeg is always going to be mutter, and the chayodom, that if you're not nena migufa malacha, so the smach certainly by etzoh, and perhaps by berer too, the Chofetz Chaim talks about it at the beginning of Shin Yutes, to be soimach on this, that you did not really bring about any physical change. And it was not shayach the assert. Okay, time for one more question if anyone wants. Yeah.
I was at a friend's house and he had on the bottom of his chest freezer he had a carton of ice cream, and part of ice cream inquiring about could he take out the ice cream. So I was wondering if after the shiur I said the rabbis had their siluk. Yeah, you could take out the pile of stuff from the chest freezer and get to the scooper on the bottom, would be a hetter. And I was wondering if I was correctly applying the principle, or if he was saying maybe, it's somewhat more mixed together by the chest.
It depends.
Freezer.
It depends if you're yekish or not. If you're not so yekish, then it's a jumble. And then I would think it's a taruvus.
And then to me, I had the ice cream to take it out.
Yes, and then I would have another problem, that a lot of the things in the freezer are probably muktzah. No, not because they're frozen, because they're inedible on Shabbos.
Because it's usher to take them out?
Raw foods.
I mean, it's not the raw foods.
Which are not oimid la'achila, are mukta. It's all tumult, because the Gemara actually says that raw meat is, it shows you how tastes change in the world. The Gemara writes in Shabbos that raw meat, bosachai, is not mukta, because, strong-minded people, people with strong constitutions, truck drivers would eat raw meat. But duck, tofel, raw fish was absolutely mukta. Nobody would touch raw fish. Forget about it. What do we have in our world? Nobody will look at raw meat. Raw fish, they'll pay a premium for sushi. Good evening, everybody, sir.
I don't like to.
I'm not a big fan of that.